Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a terrific Thursday today. We're going to have a great show for you, lots of different topics, and we have a guest coming on today. And how are you doing today, Dan?
Austin, doing great. It's wonderful today. The temperature's in the high 70s here, low 80s, low humidity. I've been sitting outside all day just thanking the good Lord what a beautiful day we have. But I want to start off with it. We got Robert David Steele coming on in about 12 to 15 minutes, and he'll be getting half of the show today until quarter till, and we'll close with the rest of our stories. And I've had a bunch of you guys send me a bunch of questions to ask him, and so we've got a list of those that we're going to be doing today, including the Gulf Oil Horizon spill. We're going to cover that. So that's going to be another different topic that I wanted to cover with him today. But I want to start with one thing today. Bloomberg put out an article today. Bloomberg Markets said Puerto Rico's $74 billion defaulted debt burden left it helpless when Maria hit. Now, the reason I'm saying this, I want to give you an idea of what they're doing and what they're planning for everybody. Years of crushing debt and dwindling budgets took their toll. Roads and utilities were crumbled, and ranks of rescuers thinned. And it goes on to say, year after year, Puerto Rico's government drew ever closer to ruin. It cut hundreds of millions of dollars from roads, schools, and other public works. It neglected the electrical system, leaving it dilapidated and prone to prolonged outages. The water utility, which was leaking untreated sewage into the ocean, put $1.4 billion construction plan on hold, and at least 5,800 police and firefighting jobs were lost. Unable to cover its share, Puerto Rico lost federal funds for work on its 4,800 miles of roads. Now, I want to stop here for a second. I want to talk to you about the psychops that's going on here with Bloomberg. Number one, Bloomberg is one of these Wall Street billionaires who's got to be in cahoots with the international banking cartels, or he would not be where he is right now. Secondly, they're making it out as if this country, if they don't stay in debt and continue to borrow more money and go to a slave wages standpoint in which all of their discretionary income is being sucked up into tax dollars that goes back into the Rothschild coffers, that at this point this country simply can't stay solvent. In any event of a national emergency, they won't have the ability to borrow more money. Now, let me share something with you. This is the same way they've treated Spain, the same way they've treated Greece, the same way they've treated Italy. This is going to be the same way they're going to treat the United States of America, guys. Let's stay close with me now for a second. When we lose our reserve currency status or we lose the petrodollar. Right now, we're able to basically use the petrodollar exclusively for the purchase of oil, except in some cases we can't do that anymore. Russia's getting away from it. China's getting away from it. India's going to be getting away from it. You know, South Africa's going to be getting away from it. Brazil's going to be getting away from it. And what's going to happen when Venezuela's getting away from it? And once oil starts being traded in Russian rubles or in Chinese currency, the yuan, we're going to have a major problem selling the debt. Even currently, when our bonds are floated on the international bond market, other countries are shying away from them. And the Rothschild banking cartel, who basically runs the treasury through the Exchange Stability Fund, they're required to pretty much buy their own paper. Now, in other words, they're trying to sell the debt to other countries. Nobody else wants our debt because we're almost in default. So now they're buying their own paper, which is increasing the balance sheets for the Fed. This is a major problem that we're having. We're turning into like a banana republic, third world dictatorship, obviously with all these false flags that are going on. So I wanted to share this with you, this false flag from Bloomberg, another Rothschild boy, about Puerto Rico's $74 billion burden, unpaid debt, made it helpless when Maria hit. They're trying to make everybody have this psychop that if you don't borrow money on a continual basis and pay the money back on a continual basis and constantly increase your debt load on a continual basis and constantly increase taxes on a continual basis, that if something really bad happens to you or your country, we're going to punish you. Now, I'm going to stop there. We're going to punish you because we're going to send a doggone hurricane over you, and we're going to stall it over Puerto Rico for a bit and let these 150-mile-an-hour winds rip through the infrastructure just so we can make sure you understand you're being punished. Unbelievable. Same thing they've done to Greece with their capital controls, only being able to remove $200 or $300 or $400 a week in cash from your account. You've got $1 million there. You can't do it. I tried to buy some stuff for Sharon at one of the stores when we were going to have it shipped over, and I was going to just pay them in cash, and they said, we can't do that. I mean, we have capital controls and all kinds of other things are in place, and we really can't do this. And I'm like, gosh, I mean, how do you do business? Guys, that's why they're taking us to the basically cashless society, so they can continue to control people like this and cut off their aid and cut off their supplies. Trump is now saying that FEMA and the military cannot stay in Puerto Rico indefinitely, because he's beginning to realize that this country is in a situation where it is so devastated with 90% of the population still without electricity that it's going to be a long, long, long... Remember, Puerto Rico is not some type of industrial powerhouse down there. They're not producing, you know, General Motors vehicles down there. I mean, they don't have a source of income coming in from what they produce. They're just like a recreational island that people like to go to or used to like to go to and just enjoy themselves. So this is a major, major problem, but I wanted you to see the psychop that Bloomberg was doing, making everybody think that unless you're going to pay homage to the Rothschild boys and pay back all of this debt you owe. And now we find out a lot of the bond issues were floated for Puerto Rico. They're in a lot of retirement funds from mom and pops, you know, basically people that are going into retirement that they bought into their doggone funds, their fund packages they bought from their financial planners. And now we're in a situation where they're $74 billion in default. So, guys, I want to share that with you today. What do you think, Oz?
It's sad. I mean, we see it all over there. You know, I'm surprised Puerto Rico hasn't contacted Israel to see if they could get some of the $50 billion we give Israel in foreign aid so they can fund all their operations in Mossad. why can't they get some of the money? You know, just a thought. Well, you know, it's always funny how we can give all these other countries tens of billions of dollars all the time. We can go invade other countries and spend trillions of dollars on wars. And yet when you see something like this, it's all, well, we don't have the funds for this and we don't have the funds for that. It's clear we don't have the funds for it because we don't want to spend the funds on it. The whole idea behind the aspect of the hurricane hitting Puerto Rico was to set an example, as you just said. Also, too, in news that, sadly enough, I've watched it for the last 2 days now, and now it looks like they're trying to actually get traction with it, and they have been now. I brought this up the day after the shooting, and sure enough, the Republicans are caving in now. Representative Carlos Curbelo, who's a Republican out of Florida, absolutely liberal, blithering idiot. Can't believe he even represents my state, much less a Republican. He put forth a gun control bill on Tuesday now that's actually starting to get traction today from what I've seen, designed to ban the manufacture, sell, or possession of bump stocks in the United States. Well, at first, that's what they're trying to say it as. So I was like, well, that's not that big of a deal. I really don't care about bump stocks, but again, it's going to be setting a precedence for accessories and being able to go in. So I'm not supportive of that at all. I want to make sure we get this stopped. Well, then I started looking into it, and you know, as we've already said before, ATF has already approved bump stocks twice. Now they're calling on them to not only ban them, but essentially to curtail this, and Curbelo is doing this now, going around it, around the legislation that ATF's already had by using the terminology and accessories that say if they increase the rate of fire of a semi-automatic rifle. Curbelo's bill is focused on accessories that speed the rate of fire for a semi-automatic. The language is so broad. I read this today, and I was really trying to figure it out because this is exactly what I called out. It has nothing to do with bump stocks. It has nothing to do with any of that. They're trying to do everything they can to put as many limitations as they can on any legal firearms now without actually banning outright the firearm. And I quote, this is what it says in the bill. To prohibit the manufacture, possession, or transfer of any part or combination of parts that is designed and functions to increase the rate of fire of a semi-automatic rifle, but does not convert the semi-automatic rifle into a machine gun and for any other purpose. You cannot get any more vague in a statement than that. That literally means, through interpretation, you could say somebody's finger is used to make that trigger run rapidly. I've seen competition shooters that literally make pistols and handguns sound like machine guns. They are so fast on the trigger. I've seen triggers when you have them a clean break and you drop them down to 2.5-3 pounds with a short reset on long-range rifles, you can literally tap them 2 or 3 times in back and forth, bam, 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 and you can make them sound just like machine guns. So for this guy to come through here and start citing this now that he wants to push this, and now 11 other Republicans now have gone in and said they support this bill. This is exactly what I've talked about from the beginning. This whole thing has nothing to do with bump fires. It has nothing to do with anything except for the fact they have to try to ban any type of firearms that can be used in an aggressive, defensive manner in self-defense or protecting your country or your family. They don't want anybody having this stuff. So coming up with a bill now that's banning any accessories or combination of accessories. And see, notice they put combination in there. Remember what I told you guys before? You get a good, clean 3-pound comp trigger. You get a vertical grip. You get an EOTech. You get a good, tight, you know, hoe grip on your gun. And you can really handle it well. You can run your trigger fast. Now they're going to say, well, you can't have that in combination. That makes you run the trigger too fast on a semi-automatic weapon. That's where it's going now, Dad, and that's what they're trying to push into. And I really hope the NRA steps in, as they've already said, to let ATF come in and re-rule on the stock, the slide fire stock. They've already said that. I really hope they come in now and show their face and say, this is absolutely out of control. We're not even going to consider a bill like this, as it's so ludicrous. Nobody's going to even take a look at it. I hope that's what their next response is.
Me too, buddy. Oh, by the way, North Korea hackers are now targeting U.S. power companies with phishing emails. These emails are designed as a charity fundraiser to download malware in preparation for a cyber attack, according to Daily Mail. Cybersecurity experts believe that the hackers working for the government of North Korea have targeted American power companies. Hackers sent emails inviting targets to participate in fundraisers. North Carolina is suspected of carrying out similar cyber attacks on South Korea electric utilities. Guys, you know, we've talked about this many times, but I want to just say this one more time. Our infrastructure, as far as our electrical grid, is extremely vulnerable for all of this stuff. And we need to be aware of that. You need to have a backup generator, backup power, solar panels, and you have to have redundancy in this. Don't just have one generator, have two generators. Don't just have it just, and the reason for that is we just came through a hurricane, and a couple of our systems actually did not work as like they were designed. Didn't work at all. And so we had to go back to secondary power. And, you know, we were fine because we had redundancy in the backup systems. You say, well, you shouldn't have to have redundancy in the backup systems. You're absolutely right. You shouldn't have to do that. But, guys, when you go into a power out situation in which you don't have power and you're trying to keep food fresh and you're trying to basically have some type of reasonable ability to have a well work to pump water, fresh water, et cetera, you got to have redundancy. You really do. Now, our guest today is Robert David Steele. And I believe the Todd probably has him on right now already. And I just want to say something about Robert David Steele. He's no stranger to this show. One of the most articulate guests we've ever had on the show. Absolutely brilliant man. His insight into what's going on as far as from a global standpoint is brought simply because he was working with the CIA for many years as one of their agents, and also with what he was doing. He can tell you all about that. Plus, in addition to that, he's literally read thousands and thousands of books. So he has a tremendous recall. And I'd like to ask you a bunch of questions today, a bunch of questions that our listeners have asked. And so, Robert, good to have you back on again. Thanks for joining us, and we appreciate you sharing your time with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you.
Well, I've got a couple of quick questions. Do a brief synopsis on Vegas for us. Just, you know, give me a, because we've all been beating this thing to death for the past week and a half, 2 weeks. Give me what your final outcome is, you know, in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, because we have so many other topics to cover with you. And tell me who in the world was involved with this, if it was our CIA or FBI, if it was the Mossad, if it was Trump. Because, I mean, you know, we have Steve Pinchuk, who basically, you know, called, you know, Hillary Clinton out for being a pedophile a week before the election, which got millions and millions of views almost immediately the week before the election. He's turned on Trump now, and he's saying that Trump was involved in the FBI, as far as with the FBI, in this whole false flag in Vegas, trying to cover up the involvement of the United States with 9/11 that was basically exposed in a few weeks ago by the Saudi government, saying that 9/11 was a false flag run by the U.S. government. How much of that is true? What do you think is going on? And give me a summary.
Well, let me say that Steve and I have known each other for many years, and we have been among those who say that bin Laden died in 2000, 2001, and then CIA rolled out a bunch of false bin Ladens. The last bin Laden was a gift from the Pakistani government to Leon Panetta, who murdered a number of SEAL operatives in political theater intended to reelect Obama. Leon Panetta should be held accountable for that. Those SEALs died for political theater. But I disagree with Steve on this one. I don't think Donald Trump is culpable. In fact, I think Donald Trump discovered a week before the event that much more was planned, and he was able to interrupt some of it. And frankly, I think this is Donald Trump's chance to purge the CIA, the FBI, the Department of State, and the Department of Defense of dual citizens who place loyalty to Israel above and loyalty to money and loyalty to the Vatican above their loyalty to the Constitution of the United States. Las Vegas was a hybrid false flag, which is to say there was a very large, legitimate FEMA drill taking place with hundreds of crisis actors. I mean, the U.S. Army mortuary unit that specializes in creating realistic wounds, fake wounds, was parked right there. So this was a massive national exercise that recruited crisis actors weeks in advance. And part of the confusion that the public faced in the immediate aftermath is that many of the videos that were posted that Google labeled fake news were in fact legitimate videos of the crisis actors with fake wounds. And that's why I and others were so quick to discredit this. But it quickly became clear from anecdotal accounts that I could not deny. I could not in good conscience say no one died. It quickly became clear that there were 7 to 9 shooters, that there was at least 1 or 2 shooters shooting directly into the crowd from ground level. There were probably shooters behind the lights on the stage. And so I believe this legitimate unclassified drill was hijacked. And I've come up with 5 potential culprits, and I'll just read them out. And by the way, my website is suffering a massive denial of service attack right now. No doubt because I place the Ziocons, the Zionist neoconservative cabal, the deep state, at the very top of the list of culpable parties. So, Ziocons loyal to Israel, this event is intended to punish Donald Trump for not invading Syria, not supporting the greater Israel plan. Ziocons loyal to money, we have documented that MGM insiders dumped $297 million worth of their own stock in March and September. George Soros did, I think, $30 or $40 million in a short call against MGM. I mean, these guys are absolutely indictable for insider trading at a minimum. But the really big money from Las Vegas is in the tens of billions of dollars that they want to put into the Department of Homeland Security budget so that Michael Chertoff and Sheldon Alderson and others can put a camera on every street corner and a body scanner in every lobby. This is insane. But that's the real end game here, is billions and billions of dollars. Then Ziocons with satanic blood sacrifice and occult interests who now deeply fear President Donald Trump. There's some reports that say that this attack, had it been successfully carried out, was intended to show Donald Trump that he cannot defend the United States against our domestic enemies. And I really have to remind people, the enemy is not an external party. The enemy is our own people right here in the United States who are agents of a foreign power, generally Israel. We've got to put a stop to that. Now, the CIA and the FBI, in my judgment, and I'm an old spy, and there are some people in the FBI I deeply admire, I.C. Smith, the special agent in charge of Little Rock during Clinton's time as a governor. That's where I learned about state and local corruption. I don't think CIA and FBI as institutions were responsible for the dark side of this hybrid false flag. I do believe that CIA and FBI officers who are Zionists and who are part of the deep state, not necessarily Zionists, but the loyal to Goldman Sachs and others, Opus Dei, Knights of Malta, the Freemasons, individuals committed treason. And finally, you have the Russian Mafia. And there's all kinds of interesting crossovers among all of these guys. But the Russian Mafia is in here somewhere. There's also huge, massive money laundering, drug running, and pedophilia, child running, going on with Las Vegas as kind of the ground zero for the intersection of all of that. I believe that Sheldon Alderson, if properly investigated, will be found to be laundering billions and billions of dollars between his casinos in Macau and the casinos in Las Vegas. So from where I sit, right now the FBI is not doing its job. I'm told by multiple parties, I have no direct knowledge, that the FBI is not only sticking to this absolutely stupid patsy story, but they're going around threatening people that if they mention other shooters, they will face consequences. I mean, what kind of country do we live in where the FBI is going around intimidating witnesses? And it could be not the FBI, but the Mossad with FBI credentials. One of the things that is clear here is the public has lost all belief in government legitimacy. The government is no longer legitimate in the eyes of the majority of the U.S. public, and that's why I think Las Vegas is an opportunity for Donald Trump, and I would like to see our legitimately elected president rise to this moment.
Let me ask you a question with Steve Penichek real quick. He thinks that Donald Trump knew about this. Now, could Donald Trump have known about the FEMA drill and thought it was just an exercise and had no idea it was going to go hot and basically not think it was going to be some of this national stuff? You know, because if we have people that dress up people like they have wounds on staff there, I mean, how much of this knowledge?
No. Look, let me make something clear. Steve is right. Trump knew in advance that there was going to be a hybrid false flag with fatalities. He knew this a week in advance from a guy that turned himself in. What I'm saying is that Trump was not himself responsible for the evildoers who were causing the fatalities. In fact, he used his advanced knowledge, as best I can tell from the cheap seats out here in Oakton, Virginia, 40 minutes from the White House, I might add. As best I can tell, Trump set in motion an effort to block the fatalities and to block the fatal aspect of this hybrid false flag. And he was apparently successful. If I had to take a wild ass guess, I'd say he was successful at preventing 70% of the fatalities. Maybe 80%.
Okay, you understand how this works a lot better than I do because you've been in the government circles. Why didn't he just send the military in? Did he not know what day it was going to be? I mean, he could have stopped it if he'd sent the military. I mean, does the FBI not answer to him? I mean,
it's a good question, and I can't answer it. I mean, you know, one of the things I don't think people really understand is just how excruciatingly complex the president's job is, particularly since he can't trust anyone around him, including the immediate people in the White House. He has been stripped of every person he could trust, less his family. And so I don't know. Only the president can explain to the American people what was going through his mind in the week before Las Vegas and what's going through his mind right now. Go ahead.
Let me ask another question with Steve Pichenik, because, I mean, you're filling in a lot of holes for me right now. Thank you so much. Steve Pichenik, every time someone has him on a talk show and they ask him to talk about the CIA running drugs out of Afghanistan, he changes the subject and refuses to discuss it, at least in all the shows that I've seen. Is that something that he knew about when he worked for the CIA and he signed some kind of confidentiality agreement? Because he talks about sending the troops in Afghanistan and not stopping the Afghan war with no hope whatsoever and winning the war with $6 trillion being spent. But he won't talk about the fact of why the CIA is there, you know, to harvest the opium and the heroin crops and their run. I mean, why won't he talk about that?
If he was with the CIA, I remember him as a State Department Assistant Secretary. I'd forgotten or don't know about his working for the CIA. But we all sign a secrecy oath. And I will give Steve credit and myself credit for not violating that secrecy oath. The difference between Steve and I is that if he was an active participant in CIA drug running, then his secrecy oath compels him to not talk about it. I was not an active participant in CIA's drug running. Most of my knowledge of the evil doing at CIA comes from my being the top Amazon reviewer for nonfiction, reading in 98 categories with 2,500 reviews posted. So my secrecy agreement does not cover what I have read in nonfiction, and therefore I am the most published intelligence reformer in the English language, but I am not a whistleblower and I am not violating my secrecy oath. That's my explanation.
Okay. Austin, you have any questions for Robert before we get off this topic?
Well, not. And the one thing, I mean, is now the stories that we keep hearing going back and forth now that it keeps changing, where Mandalay Bay says a security guard ran into him, you know, 6 minutes before the shooting started, and he dumped 200 rounds down the hall. And now they're saying that wasn't the case before, that basically he stopped them halfway through. I mean, is a lot of this stuff, do you think, obfuscation, or do you think there really is, they're trying to get together the right story to tell everybody, and a lot of them don't know what they're talking about because it's so secret, or there's just so many people involved on the back end? What's the whole explanation behind this right now?
I don't know, but I have no confidence in the people doing the investigation. What I was told is that Paddock was gaming. He was at the tables gaming 15 minutes before this alleged shooting. I'm also told that he's never been a drinker. I think he was basically, when he was in the casinos, he was actually laundering money. He was doing things for the dark side, the deep state.
Go.
And let me explain. I've posted at Phi Beta Iota, I've got a post on seven CIAs. There's a White House CIA, there's a Wall Street CIA, there's an Israeli CIA, there's a Saudi Arabia CIA, there's a drone assassination CIA, and then there's this large bunch of CIA cubicle dwellers. Okay? So you need to understand that there are portions of CIA that are out of control, that are not subject to the accountability that the Director of National Intelligence and even the Director of the CIA himself are supposedly able to exert over their agency. Just like there's a deep state program, there's elements of NASA that are not being briefed to the president. There are entire off-budget programs. I mean, we're running drugs, guns, gold, cash, and small children through 1,000 military bases all over the world. That's why I favor closing all 1,000 of those military bases. The entire U.S. government is like, it's like a shell, and then there's these parasites inside of the shell that work for the deep state. They're able to commandeer military aircraft. They're able to smuggle anything they want in and out of the United States on a military aircraft with a military aircraft call sign, and customs is not able to intercept them. I mean, some people are saying that NAFTA was all about making it easier for the U.S. government to import drugs into the United States. I don't know myself. What I do know is I've lost all confidence in the FBI as a counterintelligence agency.
Now, tell me about the Mossad and its involvement in Shabbat. And, you know, and those guys who work with the CIA and who also work with Mossad, you know, the Shabbat Jewish sect that Ashton, that Kushner's part of, and Ashton Kushner's also part of it. I mean, who are, is Shabbat involved in this?
That's too esoteric for me. Let me just tell you that I do believe that there are a number of joint Mossad CIA operations, and Jeffrey Epstein may be one of them. One of the things that shocked me most after I left the CIA and as I started doing a lot of reading was the realization that most of our members of Congress are being blackmailed by the CIA, the FBI, and NSA. And I'm now inclined to believe there was a very important court case now which just sealed all records. Let me see if I can find it here, because I think people need to know this stuff. Virginia Giuffre, her name is spelled G-I-U-F-F-R-E. Virginia Giuffre just had a sealed settlement with Jeffrey Epstein. And this settlement is sealed completely. And my suspicion is that the reason it has been sealed is because Jeffrey Epstein was able to credibly claim that he was working for the CIA, not just for the Mossad, when he was running Lolita Island and dealing in pedophilia and child murder and other atrocities in both Lolita Island and the no-name hotels that he managed in New York City and I think also Washington, D.C. So the sealing of the Virginia Giuffre complaint is, in my view, a huge red flag.
Wow. Okay. All right, let's change topics. Motives behind the Deepwater Horizon attack. What really happened with that?
That's off the table. I said I had nothing to say about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it on your email. I apologize on that. How about
And it's not because I'm trying to hide anything. I simply won't talk about stuff I don't know about.
Okay, the Antifa protest scheduled for November the 4th.
Right. Well, you know, I take a little bit of credit with Cynthia McKinney in pushing George Soros back. Hashtag unrig Summer of Peace was created to support our legitimately elected president, and it's always been my intent that he accept this as a gift from me and that he lead hashtag unrig and introduce the Election Reform Act and bury the two-party tyranny. The Republicans are his worst enemies. The Democrats are enemy light. George Soros, in contrast, Schwartz Soros, Schwartz is his real name, George Schwartz Soros has wanted to instigate violence. Hashtag resist Summer of Violence is a treasonous, seditious movement whose leaders should be locked up and whose funders should be expelled from the United States of America. Their passports taken away from them. Hashtag resist is enjoying very strong support from the Zionists. In fact, the Meetup CEO, probably responding to the Zionist direction, not only canceled 435 hashtag unrig meetups that were being paid for. He gave up $77,300 in revenue to destroy hashtag unrig, claiming that it was an alt-right movement that favored Donald Trump, never mind the fact that we had the most elegant black lady, alt-left lady in the history of the United States, Cynthia McKinney, as my counterpart. He also, the CEO of Meetup, has been giving $195,000 in illegal, undeclared, in-kind contributions to the Democratic National Committee by waiving the fees for 1,087 hashtag resist meetups. Now, Sotos originally planned to have riots in the street on the 1st of May. Then it got moved back to the 2nd of July. Now it's been pushed back to the 4th of November. And what Cynthia is telling me is that Sotos and his surrogates are offering black people a paycheck to riot in the streets, and nobody's buying into it. He's basically coming up empty. So I think we've had a good effect, and I think the American public now understands the deep state, false flags, fake news, and the fact that George Sotos is very likely one of the top six traders in America. I would add Eric Schmidt, Sheldon Adelson, Michael Chertoff, and two or three others.
Wow, unbelievable. Okay, now let's breach topics again. North Korea, just is it all just hot air blow, or is this guy really serious over there? What's Trump planning on doing with North Korea, and why are we doing it?
I can't speak for the president, but I will tell you that if I were president, I would be saying very clearly North Korea is not our problem, and I'd be pulling all of our troops and weapons out of South Korea. North Korea is China's problem. It's South Korea's problem. It is not our problem.
Why is he making it our problems?
Because that's how the national security state works, okay? I mean, one of Trump's challenges, and I'm very, very pissed off at Rince Priebus, because I sat down the day after joyfully watching him win the election and wrote a 10-page memo to the president, which has been read in various forms by over 4 million people. Trump, from election day to inauguration day, he should have had a grand strategy summit. He should have drafted the Election Reform Act. He should have created the Trump Channel and the Open Source Agency. He should have created the Debt Be Gone website to get every American in debt. It's $3 trillion worth of debt. They could have appointed the president as their personal agent for renegotiating student and health and small business and family credit card debt. And Trump could have gone to Wall Street and said, hey, I am the agent for $3 trillion in debt. You're going to cut it in half or I'm going to fry you. So there's a lot of things Trump could have done, but traitor Rince Priebus, who is the absolute representative for the Republican Party in the deep state, did not deliver that memo to Donald Trump. So Trump now has a national security staff led by a guy that I consider a traitor. I have it from a reliable inside source that Herbert McMaster co-conspired with John McCain, who is being blackmailed for pedophilia and other things by the CIA. He co-conspired with John McCain and John Brennan, who's probably a direct paid asset of the Saudi government, to get the Israelis and the Saudis to fund the false flag attack in Syria intended to put 150,000 troops, U.S. troops, into Syria. We don't need a national security strategy. Herbert McMaster should be sent home to the Army, and they will retire him as they plan to before he became the national security advisor. What our president needs is a national strategy staff led by a clerk, not a czar, and he needs a Trump channel, and he needs an open source agency that can meet 96% of his needs for decision support while meeting everybody else's needs for decision support. The current structure of the U.S. government is inherently favorable toward war and waste. It is not favorable toward peace and prosperity. I mean, Trump has 54 Ashkenazi Jews running the economy. He's got 9 Goldman Sachs bankers and 1 Goldman Sachs bimbo in the White House. And he's got Jared Kushner, who is almost certainly, at a minimum, a designated asset of the Mossad, who may have been put in front of Ivanka, who may have been profiled by Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, both Mossad agents, known Mossad agents. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Known Mossad officers. I don't think they're agents. I think they're actually
officers. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you this question. It's not going to be too esoteric. I'm not sure because I've talked about it repeatedly, but I don't know the reason why. I can only speculate. Maybe you do. We have dozens and dozens of Jews running the economy, running the country. You know, he said he's going to clean out the swamp and get a lot of these guys out when he got there, but then he put a bunch of Goldman Sachs guys in. Why is he so loyal to these guys? I mean, are these the guys who bailed him out of his bankruptcy, or have they paid him off? I mean, what's going on with this guy, Robert? I mean, why in the world has he put these people in place that completely, you know, run the Federal Reserve systems, you know, through the Rothschild banking cartels?
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
why
I
is this?
I agree. And the most favorable interpretation I can give you is that he did not expect to win. Cambridge Analytica is not as good as they say they are. And I'm told that at noon on election day, Cambridge Analytica told him he had a 20% chance at best of winning. This all came as a complete surprise to him. And when he won, I think his biggest immediate thought was, my God, how do I survive assassination? How do I live to get to inauguration day? So I think he made a number of choices, including Rents Priebus's chief of staff, that were intended to increase his survivability in the face of a deep state that he understands very well. Donald Trump has been in New York for many, many years. He knows in detail the depravity and the corruption and the illicit nature of the entire deep state structure. All right? And one of the reasons I voted for him was because I thought he was clever enough to get in and eventually disrupt this whole mess. I can't speak for him. I don't know. I do believe, though, the time has come and Las Vegas is the opportunity for him to carry out a purge across the entire U.S. government, and I certainly would like to see him include the Ashkenazi Jews and the Goldman Sachs bankers in that purge.
Okay, now, since we're talking about the Jewish cabal in Vegas and in Hollywood and everything else and in the United States government right now...
Hang on a second. Let me make an important point. It's
sure.
Very, very important to not say Jewish cabal. It's very, very important to say Kazafian mafia or the Zionist cabal.
Okay.
There is a huge, huge difference between Zionists who are traitors and Jews who are loyal citizens. Okay? And I try to make that distinction at all times.
Well, thank you so much. To me, it would be like talking about the Italian mafia or whatever, but to me, I'm not including all
that.
Jews.
But a lot of Americans don't get this, and the Zionists have perfected the art of using anti-Semitism as a means of censoring people.
That's
so
true.
This is a distinction that I have made, and it's proven to be very resilient in the face of Zionist attempts to say, oh, my God, anytime you call me a traitor, you're being anti-Semitic. No, I'm calling you a traitor because you are a traitor.
Okay. Well, tell me how this Harvey Weinstein and the child pedophilia that we saw before the election, that we saw through Podesta and through the emails that were released, are all of these things interconnected? Is that why they're doing so much damage control? Is that why Harvey Weinstein has fled the United States? I mean, what's going on with this message that's in the news right now?
I love that you bring that up. I wrote a letter to James Comey at one point, which is on my website, in which I said to him that I felt that Hillary Clinton was the epicenter, the ground zero, at the intersection of treason, pedophilia, election fraud, and charity fraud. All right? Now, I think Weinstein and David Brock, to a lesser extent. David Brock of Media Matters has just had an FEC complaint against him filed by Citizens Audit. It's like Al Capone's tax return. This one FEC, Federal Election Commission, filing by Citizens Audit could possibly just expose every aspect of David Brock across these four areas and lead to the exposure of the entire treason, pedophilia, fraud network. You know, Matt Taibbi's written two really important books. The first one is called Griftopia, and it talks about the intersection of political and financial crime. The second one is called The Divide. It talks about two legal systems, one for the rich protected and one for everyone else. Now, what's happening here, and I'm a commissioner on an international tribunal that's investigating pedophilia worldwide, and I'm nurturing a book by a West Point graduate, Joaquin Hagopian. It's called Pedophilia and Empire. And we published the first eight chapters plus my foreword free online at Phi Beta Iota. What we're getting to, I think, is pedophilia is both the glue that keeps the deep state together. And when I say pedophilia, I'm not talking about just kidnapping and sexually molesting children. The other half of it is killing them in satanic rituals, terrorizing them for adrenalized blood and harvesting their bone marrow and body parts. So I believe that this book, Pedophilia and Empire, and this FEC complaint, which the FEC has 5 days to actually respond to it, I think this is the beginning of the unraveling of the deep state. And Donald Trump, with his many pedophilia arrests with our honorable Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, I think he is really seriously trying to do right by the American public. And I'm not gonna give up on Donald Trump just yet. I will, however, say I think Steve Bannon has a better pulse on the public.
I agree with you on that. Why haven't we prosecuted Hillary Clinton? Why hasn't his White House gone after her?
It's a good question. I think part of the issue is, and one of the reasons I'm big on truth and reconciliation, is because when you're taking down a massive criminal organization, you really need to focus on what will allow for people to confess and share information and see an exit strategy rather than dig in and fight to the death. I mean, Hillary Clinton is associated with a large number of murders. Think of her as a large rat. The absolute last thing you want to do is corner Hillary Clinton. So I personally think our president is a very smart man, and putting Hillary Clinton in jail is much less important than gutting the deep state as a whole.
Okay, so you think he's just basically making sure he gets the people in place that he needs to have in place before he starts doing this, and he's probably hoping that he gets a second election, a second term.
I'll tell you something, I don't think he's going to get a second term on his present course, and that troubles me. The reason he's not going to get a second term is because we're going to have a pedophilia scandal that is going to take out the Republican leadership in the Senate. You're already starting to see Republican senators run for cover. Every Republican senator that resigns is, in my view, a suspected pedophile.
Well, you know, Steve Bannon wants to replace most of the congressional members who are Republicans. How is that going to work with Trump? I mean, he doesn't seem to be caring about the Republican Party. Does he know so much about the pedophiles that he just wants them all cleaned out?
Well, you know, Dan Schultz, have you read Dan Schultz's book, How to Get Into the Real Ball Game of Politics, Where You Live? Well, Dan Schultz has made a study of all of the Republican precincts, and he's found that half of the Republican precinct seats are empty. They're vacant. If we want to take back, I'm an old Reagan Republican, and I scorn the existing Republican Party. Now I'm registered libertarian, but the libertarian leadership they've got their head up their ass. I mean, these people, anybody who puts two old white guys, one of whom doesn't know what an Aleppo is not serious about winning. But Dan has realized that it's possible for us at the precinct level to put conservatives into those 50% seats that are vacant and remake the GOP from the bottom up. So I strongly support Dan Schultz and his vision of recapturing the GOP at the precinct level. However, for Donald Trump to survive the Democratic prospects of taking back both the House and the Senate, he needs to have independents and small parties in the House and the Senate as a swing vote. He needs to have 50 people in the House that will not caucus with the Democratic or the Republican parties, and he needs to have 10 senators in the Senate that will not caucus with the Democratic and Republican parties. The only way he's going to get there is with an Election Reform Act. The Election Reform Act is what eliminates the 12 sucking chest wounds in American democracy, to include paper ballots counted publicly on site and instant runoff, so you don't fraction the vote to get your guy in. We need to make it possible for independents to be elected and not be blocked from ballot access. We need to have not just presidential debates that are honest. I mean, I think the Republican Party, if it's captured, should refuse to participate in the two-party debate commission and flip it back to the League of Women Voters. I have also proposed that every president, as this would be part of the Election Reform Act, every president must name their cabinet 90 days in advance of Election Day and they must publish a balanced budget 90 days in advance of Election Day. And then there would be cabinet-level debates. So the attorneys general, the secretaries of defense, the secretaries of energy, education, and so forth, would have at least one or two debates in their area of specialization. I have to tell you, I was asked by the Libertarian Party what made me different from all other presidential candidates. This was when I had been a Reform Party candidate and I was toying with running against Gary Johnson. I let him drive my MGB. I knew I could beat him, but I didn't think I could get nominated with the current corrupt libertarian system. I said, look, number one, I don't change my story based on what everyone wants to hear. Number two, I'm not seeking the presidency to be a decider. I'm seeking the presidency to push the power back to the people. In my view, every major issue in this country, to include legalizing marijuana, nationalizing the Federal Reserve, closing all our military bases overseas, cutting the federal budget in half, all of these should be national ballot issues. All of these should be national referendums in which the president first sets the stage by educating the public on how he sees this issue and what he thinks the outcome should be, and then there should be a national vote. And the hell with Congress, because Congress votes the way they're paid to vote. They do not vote in the best interest of the public.
Okay. Robert, I want to thank you. Man, as always, you just absolutely just are amazing when we have you on the show. Thank you so much. How can people get in touch with you? What are your websites? How can they help you?
Well, God bless you. They can certainly help by donating. We've been under Zionist attack for 90 days. Meetup canceled us. We've been under a defamation attack. We're under denial of service attack right now. So if you look up Indiegogo-Unrig, you'll get right to the website where we're trying to raise money to fight back on these attacks. If you want completely free stuff, PhiBetaIota.net is our public intelligence website. It includes all of my book reviews. Everything is free online with no advertising. You can subscribe at PhiBetaIota.net. And if you want to know more about me as a patriot and a champion for democracy, my personal website is robertdavidsteele.com, and in the contact page, you'll find my email.
Robert, as always, brilliant presentation. Thank you so much. God bless you. We'll finish the show with a few nutrition stories. Thank you so much. We'll have you on again soon. God bless you, buddy.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. Okay, Austin, that was pretty intense. I didn't have any idea that Donald Trump, according to Robert David Steele, knew about this thing a week before it happened. We're beginning to realize just how deep of a hole we're in this country, and that the President of the United States, if he knows about a false flag, can't put a stop to it. What do you think about that?
Well, and one thing he said that was very intriguing to me is he said we have all types of different facets of basically CIA headquarters, so to speak, with CIA Mossad, the CIA over here, the CIA in other countries, and a lot of this stuff is totally compartmentalized. And it reminded me, because you saw some of that, they depicted some of it in that movie American Made with Tom Cruise, where the one CIA agent that was working with him all the time, in the cubicle right next over to him, they showed this multiple times, the guy would stick his head up and make a comment or ask him a question. He would refuse to answer anything to him. He wouldn't even say anything to him, or much less respond to him. And that's what it seems to me is going on here. We almost have these deep hole CIA agents that works essentially without any type of oversight. There's no accountability whatsoever. They literally do anything they want. So when you have multiple factions of this all over the world, all over the country, when these guys apparently want to do something such as the Vegas shooting, they don't have a bit of problem doing it, nor do they have a problem pulling it off whatsoever. The more stuff we're starting to see now, with as covert as Paddock has been over the last few years, with the money transfer to his wife for $100,000, with the plane that's in Ballant LLC over in Virginia for the last 3 years, it seems to me that this guy definitely was involved in something with the CIA, whether it was gun running, whether it was drug running, whether it was a plethora of everything combined, I don't know, but it definitely is starting to look like that, Dad. And I mean, it's sad to me is if Trump really did know about this and there's nothing he could do about it. But as David just said, if it's to a point where there's so many factions of it that are operating so smoothly and so efficiently all the time, you literally don't even have the ability to put your finger on it, because they almost operate as ghosts, so to speak.
Wow, absolutely. All right, Austin, I'm going to go ahead and do the write-up for you. We got a couple minutes left. I'll let you go ahead and finish the show. I want to make one more and by the way, guys, thank you so much. Dave Hodges will be on with me tomorrow. Austin will be off tomorrow. He'll be flying up to a wedding, so Dave will be on with me. So God bless you guys, and I want to, again, thank Robert David Steele for being on with me today. He was as always, just a phenomenal guest. And you guys, if you can support him, I mean, if everybody listens to this show, we'll just give him a few dollars. It'll make a huge difference as far as his budget and his cash flow needs. But I also want to cover one thing about these wildfires that are going on right now in California, Austin. This is a major problem. And the biggest thing that we have with these wildfires is the anodized aluminum, the microscopic aluminum that's being sprayed via the chemtrails. Because what that does is that's an inflammatory agent. I mean, it causes massive fires to burn at super hot temperatures. And if you look at the size of the particle, it's like having a if you look at just the size of the dust, it's like having a football in the middle of the NFL on the goal line, and this that's the and the entire stadium would be a human cell, and the football is up on the goal line. That's how big these particles are. They're absolutely that tiny, and what happens is they coat every living thing they're sprayed on that's stationary, and so we inhale them, smart dust, etc., nanoparticles, and they get this entire forest covered in aluminum. So what happened back in 67 when that one spaceship, one of the Apollo spaceships, you know, burned up on the launch pad, all the aluminum and the oxygen in there, it just burned super hot, super fast. And these guys were all killed on the inside of the space capsule. So guys, pray for the people in California. In fact, let's do that right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for these people with these wildfires. I pray they can get out of harm's way and they can be protected, Lord. I also pray for the people in Puerto Rico, since they're in the middle of this Sabbatean assault as far as their finances down there. Help them, Lord, to do what they need to do to get their island back in line, and so they don't have to all vacate to the United States, so they can stay in their homeland, Lord. I appreciate it, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Austin, I'll do the write-up. God bless you guys. Tomorrow on with Dave Hodges, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Got it, bud. Yes, well, another study that I was pretty excited about that I saw today, it was a Japanese study on broccoli sprouts and liver function. And they did a research basically finding that the sulforaphane, which is real high in broccoli, especially the sprouts and the seeds, is extremely beneficial. They gave it to basically male participants who were shown they were having issues with liver problems, and they showed that it was able to improve hepatic abnormalities and overall liver function significantly. For the study, the researchers conducted a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trial of males with fatty liver disease. The subjects received either extract of broccoli sprouts in capsule form or a placebo. The capsules contained glucoferrin, a precursor to the sulforaphane, and broccoli sprouts. A number of the key liver function markers were measured before and after the trial, and it was determined that dietary supplementation with extracts of broccoli greatly improved liver functioning by decreasing the alkali phosphatase activity and oxidative stress markers. The broccoli sprout extract was also found to prevent NDMA-induced chronic liver failure in rats. The researchers believe the antioxidants in the broccoli sprouts are effective in suppressing the mechanisms of liver failure at a cellular level. And that's why the product that we designed and brought out years ago, the Ultimate Immune Booster, has been such a successful product because it contains 30 milligrams of the sulforaphane in it, which is the broccoli seed extract. And they even did trials on this product before they released it, and they showed that basically it was able to kill lung cancer cells in vitro. This is one of the only substances known to man that is not toxic but will also kill lung cancer cells. It has 5 U.S. study patents on it from the John Hopkins University. So this is a product, when we started carrying it, it's incredibly effective. It does a really good job, not only boosting the immune system, but fighting off these cells that they even personally researched. And now, on this study in Japan, they have found now that it's incredibly good for the liver and also aiding with fatty liver disease. And Dad talked about that the other day, so I wanted to bring this up because we've had this product with great results, and a lot of people don't know much about it because when they see it, they're just like, oh, okay, you know, it's Ultimate Immune Booster, until they start reading about it and figuring out what it actually does. And so, I mean, it's a very effective product. We have it on there for $35.99. If I get a good amount of questions on it this week, which I've got a lot lately, but if I get some more, I'll probably add it to the product of the week. It's a pretty expensive product for the cost to manufacture, but what it actually does for people that are in those compromised immune states, it's an incredible product. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. Also, too, as yesterday, the product of the week that won was the thyroid support, which is an incredible product for the thyroid, but actually one I just found out again about a little over a month ago, but this product has so much traction and we sell so much of it. Apparently every time it goes up for winning, it just wins by a landslide in most cases. And this is why, because it really helps out with thyroid function. It helps the body's conversion of T4 into T3, and it can be used in people that are having either issues of hyper or hypothyroidism, either one. So it's a really, really good product. Even if you're, and I've told this guys before, even if it's something where you're working on trying to stay in good shape and burn body fat while you're exercising and doing cardio, it's incredible for that. Every time I'd start dieting down for something, or even if I'm just trying to lean down, I'd always take two capsules of this with breakfast, and I'd take another two capsules usually at dinner. And what it does is it speeds up your metabolism. So when you get in the habit of eating 5, 6, 7 meals a day, small meals a day like I talk about, eating very clean, doing cardio, exercising on a regular basis, it has a very, very good affinity to speed up the metabolism and help the thyroid be more effective and efficient, and in that case allows you to burn more body fat. So it's a really great product. And as I said too, there's some people that have the ability that working through their doctor, they're able to come off their thyroid medication and then in turn go and take this product as a standalone. But again, you have to do that through the doctor's advice. We can't give you the advice to do all that. So you need to talk to your doctor if you're on any medication. But again, guys, we appreciate it. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the time you guys spend writing us emails. Thank you for listening to the show. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. You can go to the top of the contact form or the search bar and type in the word contact and email us anytime you'd like, or call us Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on our phone number, 1-800-726-1834. Like I said, we're always here to help you guys. We do the best we can to answer any questions and help you guys with any protocols. So be sure to check that out. If you have any questions that are in general and you don't want to give us a call, we always have lots of stuff on the website, articles, videos, different specials and kits that we have on sale on a regular basis right on the front page. But again, guys, we appreciate the support. Thank you for everything you do. You guys enjoy the show tomorrow, and I will be back with you guys Monday as always. You guys have a blessed weekend, and I will talk to you then.